Now would be a great time for you to get your outlines out. Hopefully you were handed one of those on the way in. It is cool to finally get this message out. This was supposed to happen last Sunday, or last Saturday night, but what a wild storm we had, huh? 12 o'clock in the afternoon, complete sunshine, looked like a summer day, and we said, we're canceling church because we're not going to be able to get here, and you all saw what happened. So thank God that he took care of us just the way we were hoping he would. We are on a mission to make 2018 a step-up year from 2017. Now, 2017 may have been a good year for you, might have been a bad year, might have been an ugly year, it doesn't matter. Our goal is to make 2018 a year of improvement, a year of advancement, a year of victory, and a year where we accomplish some health. Therefore, to make that happen, we're going to need to do some things differently in 2018 than we did in 2017. And since January 1st, we have been on a mission of coming to God's Word and asking God, you lead us. You tell us what I'm supposed to do with life. I have my own kind of handbook, my own manual that's in my head of how I'm going to do life. And that got me where I was in 2017. Now, Lord, I want your handbook. I want your instruction book. You lead me for 2018. Let's see how that goes. We'll give that a ride. So we went to the book of Proverbs, really the book of wisdom, it's called, in Old Testament. And that's where we've been studying, and we're going to continue that study tonight. Now, we know that the book of Proverbs was written by King Solomon. King Solomon was the greatest king Israel had ever known. King Solomon's father was King David. Yes, David the shepherd boy, David the one who with the sling who slew the Goliath, that David was Solomon's father. And now anytime I bring up King David in small groups, people are so quick to point out the mistakes of King David. They immediately run to the story of Bathsheba, and then they run to his really poor handling of his rebellious son Absalom. But there was so much more to King David, and that's what we want to kind of put our hands around tonight. Just forget about his shortcomings and his sin, and talk about what Solomon is going to talk. His son's going to talk about what David actually did right. He's going to talk about David's teaching. He's going to talk about David's influence on his son, who will become this amazing King Solomon. And really, it's perhaps one of the most prominent memories that Solomon has of his father, King David. Solomon makes us aware that his father's positive influence happened. And he tells us this in chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs. If you got your Bibles, that'd be a great place to open to. We're going to bring up the pertinent scripture on the side screen if you didn't. It's in this chapter where Solomon enlightens us to the fact that King David, his father, even though he had his faults, indeed did invest in his son Solomon. He did indeed nurture him and father him and mentor this young Solomon to become the greatest king Israel would ever know. Here's what Solomon writes. Solomon writes this, records this in the book of wisdom, book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 1. Solomon says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father. Pay attention and learn good judgment. For I'm giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my instructions." Solomon says, "For I too was once my father's son, tenderly loved as my mother's only child. My father taught me," he says. "My father taught me," and here's the quote, "Take my words to heart, Solomon. Follow my commands and you will live." Solomon, get wisdom. Develop good judgment. Don't forget my words and don't turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guide you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do, Solomon. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head, and she will present you with a beautiful crown. And That is the end of the quote that Solomon includes in the Book of Wisdom from his father, King David. Friends, this admonition is really very intriguing because they are the words, first of all, of a reigning king to a future king. They are the words of a father to his son. And they are the words of a seasoned God follower. He'd been through it all with God. These are the words he gives to a young, starting out God follower. Now, before David ever spoke these words to Solomon, remember, David had had quite a life. David had grown up as the runt in his family, the one no one believed in. You ever have one of those? The one in the family, everybody else is great, but you're the one? Yeah, we're getting by with that one. David was that. David is the one who slew a giant, went out with a slingshot, and killed a giant while Israel's entire army sat terrified watching. David is the one who served in King Saul's court. David had suffered the death of his best friend. David had been wrongly accused and condemned and hunted for years by an insane King Saul. David had risen to stardom. He knew what it was like to be loved like a star in Israel. David had also committed adultery, and that adultery was made public. David had committed murder. David had suffered through the death of his first child with Bathsheba. David had been through remorse. He had been through grief. He had been through pain as much as anyone ever has. And most importantly, David had experienced God's forgiveness. David had experienced God's restoration at its fullest extent. All that happened to King David, Solomon's father, before Solomon was even born. Solomon writes in verses 3 and 4, "For I too was my father's son, and my father taught me." Gang, what we forget sometimes is that parents are on a God journey too. We forget sometimes that parents have a sordid story to tell. We forget sometimes that parents are flawed. We forget sometimes that parents are forgiven. Parents are struggling. Parents are trying desperately to get it right. Parents are wrestling with their own sins as God followers. And we forget that parents, before helping you with their life, have been through a whirlwind in their life as well. Every parent has a childhood. Every parent has been wounded. Every parent has made mistakes. Every parent has been enrolled in the school of hard knocks. Now, Solomon was the wisest man to ever live, and he certainly knew the epic story of his father, King David. He knew it. He had to have known it because it was written down. We have it, so Solomon had it. And yet, through all that, Solomon valued his father. Solomon valued his father's words so much so that he recorded them for us here in chapter 4, what we just read. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, knew to look for the good in his father. And when he did, he found a treasure trove of good. Point one for us tonight is this: look for the good in people. Or maybe you need to change that on your outline. Maybe you need to say this: look for the good in your parents. Gang, one of the biggest potholes that we can fall into in our relationships with people is looking for the bad. It's easy, and we're all pretty good at it. Looking for the negative in somebody, looking for their flaws, looking for the thing that we don't like, looking for that off-putting trait. You know, Pollyanna's father said it best: if you look for the bad in people, expecting to find it, you surely will. Gang, everyone that you meet will have a quirk. Everyone will have a shortcoming. Everyone will have a flaw. Everyone will have sins that they are fighting. My buddy says it best. He said, Drew, everybody's a little crazy in their own way. And I think he's right. Solomon, with his God-ordained wisdom, had to choose between two options. The first option Solomon could have chose was he could have looked at his father and seen the bad. He could have thought, you hypocrite. You loser. You weakling. Or Solomon could look at his dad as a flawed but wise king, an imperfect but successful leader, and a caring father who was still learning himself till his dying day. Let me ask you, which option do you think served Solomon and would serve us best? Number two, looking for the good. And that's what Solomon chose. And that attitude allowed Solomon to explore his father's life. It allowed him to explore his father's life journey and his father's experiences. And it allowed Solomon to come away from that exploration blessed. Gang, Solomon sets the example for us. Not to label, not to define people by their shortcoming, but to look for the good. And when we do, we, like Solomon, can point to, explore people instead of passing judgment on them. Think about it. We go on vacations all over, don't we? We'll go on a vacation to explore America or even around the world or the Caribbean. But there's another exploration that's a lot closer to home. I encourage you to make sure that you have explored the wonder that's sitting right in front of you. Explore the world of your parents or your parent. As sons and daughters, sometimes we think our parents' life must have began when they became my mom and dad. But it didn't. Like King David, our parents have adventures that they have lived. I know my mother and father's lives pretty well because they have allowed me inside their life to explore their life. I love when my mother told the story of how as kids, her father was a grump. He was a big time grump. His order was always, kids had to be quiet. Just don't make any noise, understand? Don't make any noise, just be quiet. And my mother had six brothers and sisters. So what they did, they decided to create what they called a silent band, where each of them would play an air guitar or an air flute. Back then it was an air anything. And for hours they would play in their air band because their father told them to be quiet. My mother never learned to play an instrument, but she could play an air anything. My father, amazing man, grew up in West Virginia, farmland. My father had to walk many miles, he told me, back home in the dark from his job when he was a boy. After school, he then worked at a local dairy, and he would get out, and it was dark. And he said that on moonless nights, where there was no moon, I can't stand those kind of nights, it was so dark, he said, you couldn't see the road. It was paved, the road. He said, so what he would do is he would listen to the sound of his feet on the asphalt until it hit the side. He said, and occasionally I would lay down in the middle of that street and just take in the warmth from the asphalt that it had accumulated throughout the day. And every now and then he'd walk over to the side of the road and he'd pull up a piece of tar and chew it like gum. I love their stories. But I also know the trials, and I know the difficulties that my mom and dad went through. The pressure of working three jobs just to make ends meet. The effort that it takes to make a marriage work and stay together. And having three little boys to raise before you are 24 years old. Westbridge, explore people. Explore your parents. Instead of passing judgment on them. It's an eye-opening revelation when we are walking through a tough section of our life's road and we stop to take a break, on a roadside wooden bench. And while sitting there pondering our issue, thinking about what we should do, we look down at the scratched up seat and we see our parents' name carved in it, signifying that they were here too. And that they too pondered the same questions as we're pondering right now. And they got through. Solomon says, "For I too was once my father's son. And my father taught me." And what was King David's instruction to his son Solomon after walking the road Solomon was about to walk as a king? What did King David give him as instruction? He said this: "Get wisdom, Solomon. Develop good judgment. Don't forget my words and don't turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you." Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Now, when I read this, I kind of saw three main actions presenting themselves here. Three main actions in what David is telling Solomon to do. The first is this: get wisdom. Get wisdom. We have been talking a lot about this, and it really is the calling and the goal of this whole series, to get wisdom, right? Gang, wisdom can come to us in two different ways, just so you know kind of the theology on it. Wisdom can come to us in two different ways. The first is this: it's a God-given gift. 1 Corinthians 12:8 tells us that. It says, "For to one is given through the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge." This first way of getting wisdom, this is where God has given someone a special ability to be wise. It's a divine ability, as we are told, because it flows from the Spirit of God. Now, we know King Solomon is going to get this. He asks for this from God, and he gets it when he becomes king. He was endowed on high from God with wisdom. I usually look for authors, Christian authors, who have this gift as well. People like Henry Cloud, James Dobson. Those are the ones I go, they just seem to have a God-given gift for wisdom. But then there's the second way to get wisdom. The second way we procure wisdom is this: it is the result of an energetic search. Aha. This is what we have been doing since January 1st, isn't it? We are looking to get wisdom to change and improve our lives. King David told his son, Solomon, develop good judgment. Gang, we are here to harvest God's wisdom, to accumulate God's understanding and to grow in God's knowledge. And then we're going to use all that as a filter to pour our life into, pour our life questions, pour our options in life into that. And out of that filter will come God's good judgment. Take my words to heart. Follow my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, Solomon. Then develop good judgment. Friends, much of the heartache and much of the pain in our lives comes because we did not develop good judgment. And man, when we're young, good judgment is far from our minds, isn't it? In 1979, I was 17 years old. Oh, you know what's coming, right? Bad judgment story. Here it comes. In 1979, amazing year, one of the amazing things that happened in 1979 is that an amusement park opened. One of the most famous amusement parks to ever open. The park was located in Vernon, New Jersey. And it was simply called Action Park. It was called that because it was designed to be a go-at-your-own-risk, go-as-fast-as-you-can, be-as-crazy-as-you-like thrill park with the water slides. Well, the park opened in 79, and in the run of that park, no other park has had more injuries than Action Park. And it was to this park in 1979 that I assembled my midnight gang, and we headed to Action Park in 1979 when it opened. Now, at Action Park, there are some great ways to spend your day of bad judgment. very great ways. I would probably offer to you how we did it. The first would be to go to the 30-foot cliffs. The thing about the 30-foot cliffs is these are totally unsupervised. Yay. There's nobody there. There's no person there with a vest showing you when you go. So it was always a thrill at the 30-foot cliffs after you jumped into the water and the person waiting at the top was a bit over-anxious and didn't wait for you to clear the area and bam! You got landed on from 30 feet above by some over-anxious jumper behind you. No lifeguards. Amazing. From there, you could get more adventurous, though. You could head over to the freshwater, turbulent, tidal pool. There it is. This fresh and incredibly deep water, coupled with the truly tidal waves that they created, made for quite a dangerous swim. And in its history, three people drowned to death in the tidal pool. Now, you don't see me and the Midnight Gang in that picture, but we were there. We were in that tidal pool risking death. Oh, it was wonderful, a wonderful day of bad judgment. But the park didn't have any better judgment than we had. And a full day of bad judgment could be had by taking the evening to risk your life on this. The Alpine Slide. Yeah. Now, here is how this is described by one patron. I'm going to let them describe. This is not my words. This is how it's described by a patron in print. One extreme example of stupidity in the park is the Alpine Slide. It is essentially a giant track to rip people's skin off. And it's disguised as a kid's ride. The slide featured a long cement and fiberglass filled track that visitors rode down in a wheeled device. In theory, each rider was in charge of their own speed, but the devices were almost always broken. Some had no brakes, which meant they were freewheeling. Others had too much brakes being broken and they would go very slowly down the track. Inevitably, by going too slow, you'd be hit in the back by another speedier rider. The park saw its first fatality on the Alpine Slide. A 19-year-old flew off the track and hit his head on a tree. Westbridge, going to Action Park, made one question their own good judgment. But if there were any doubt to the depths of my poor judgment, it was settled when me and my friends were tempted by Action Park's most dangerous ride of all, the Cannonball Loop. The most infamous of rides at Action Park was the Cannonball Loop, an enclosed water slide with a complete vertical loop. According to one source, when park owners sent a dummy doll on a test run of the ride, it came back with no head. Gene Mulvihill, the owner, offered his employees $100 to test the new rides, including the Cannonball Loop, and despite employees winding up with bloody noses and bruises, he opened the ride in time for the people in 1979. One person got stuck at the top of the loop, it is told, causing the park to build a hatch to aid future rescuers. And Westbridge, it was here at the Cannonball Loop, that my poor judgment reached its apex. I successfully talked an unnamed friend into taking this risk and experiencing this amazing thrill of the Cannonball Loop. Now the rest of the Midnight Gang, we all sat back and cheered as unnamed friend climbed those steps 4-5 stories up. As he ascended the steps to the top of that watery behemoth, 5 stories up, waving to us. And then as we cheered him on, he put his feet into the tube, held on, And then with a fist high in the air and a scream, he let go and he entered the barrel of the cannonball loop. What happened next was some of the most blood-curdling screaming I have ever heard. The Midnight Gang listened, and we could hear unnamed friend's body being thrown at tremendous G-force down and down, five stories, then catapulted straight up, then over, then smashing back down. And to this day, it is a mystery how unnamed friend shot out the end of that gun barrel head first. Action Park was mercifully closed in 1996. Apparently, bad judgment was still the name of the game in 1996. And after 18 years of painful consequences, Action Park came to a close. David tells his son Solomon, "Don't live your life like you're at Action Park. Don't make foolish and bad decisions. Don't make reckless decisions. Don't let your friends, don't let curiosity, or even your own heart lead you to make poor judgments." Solomon's father, his instruction was, Solomon, develop and have good judgment. Solomon, have good judgment in choosing your friends. Have good judgment in your dating life. Have good judgment of your attitude about your spouse. Have good judgment handling family matters. Have good judgment on how to respond to difficult people in your life, because you're going to have them. Have good judgment, Solomon, on financial matters, and have good judgment in creating a long-term plan. Gang, one of the questions that we would do best asking ourselves regularly is this: am I using good judgment? And then there's a companion question. Does the person that I'm standing in front of have good judgment? David told Solomon, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get good judgment. But then, number two, cement it in. He says it here, don't forget my words, Solomon, and don't turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom. Cement it in. You know what's right. Cement it in. Gang, know this. Good judgment will get challenged. It's going to get challenged. You trying to do the right thing will not always meet with applause. Did you get that? You doing the right thing is not always going to meet with applause from people. You trying to encourage others to use good judgment will not always meet with enthusiasm and gratitude. Chapter 9, verse 7 of Proverbs says this: if you correct a conceited, if you correct a know-it-all, you will only be insulted. If you reprimand evil people, you will only get hurt. Verse 8 says, never correct a know-it-all. Never correct conceited people. They will hate you for it. But if you correct the wise, they will respect you. Gang, living with good judgment and wisdom will certainly be a light to the world around us. But we also have to deal with the fact that the darkness hates the light, doesn't it? When you get beat up, and when you get mocked, when you get ridiculed, and you get criticized enough for doing what's right, for having good judgment, it's going to make you want to drop your sword. It's going to make you want to give up, and it's going to make you want to just go along with the crowd. Don't do it. Don't go down Cannonball Loop. David is telling Solomon to cement God's wisdom in your heart, because discouragement is going to come. Even when you're doing the right thing, someone's going to discourage you from doing it. David is telling Solomon to cement God's leading into his life, because you will lose friends and you will be unpopular among those wanting their folly. David is telling Solomon to cement God's directing into your actions, because there's going to be a ton of other options coming at you and a slew of distractions trying to get you to lose focus. Westbridge, when you have gotten wisdom and you cement it in your heart, soul, mind, the last thing is to, through this, follow it. Develop good judgment, verse 7. Verse 8, if you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her and she will honor you. Verse 9, she will place a wreath, a lovely wreath on your head, and she will present you with a beautiful crown. King David says, God's wisdom leading to good judgment will make you great, Solomon. Follow it. And he says the same to you and me. And so, Solomon did. The son grew into a man. He followed his father's instruction. He did indeed become great. As he took to heart the words of his father, and he grew into a man. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Gang, to follow wisdom, you have to grow out of childish reasoning. And you have to grow up into good judgment. Paul says, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. And I had the judgment of a child. But then I grew up. I'll be honest with you. There are days that I wish I could go back to Action Park. Days of living carefree with no responsibilities, tempting fate and running against the odds. Go back to the spirit of a boy. But gang, I did that. I too was once a son. Paul, David, and God make it clear, the spirit of a boy has to give way to the wisdom of a man. And the spirit of a girl has to give way to the good judgment of a woman. David taught Solomon. Solomon teaches us. Now it's our turn to live it and teach it. I have three children. And in their lives, they have met many, many people. Many friends, many possible roommates, many romantic possibilities. And in our conversation about this, I always have four or five big questions, and one of those big questions is this. One of, without fail, does the person that you're talking about have good judgment? Tell me some of the judgments that they have made, and tell me some of the judgments they're living with today. Getting wisdom and developing good judgment is the wisest thing we can do, we are told. So as the band returns, our worship leaders come back, I want to take this time to kind of solidify this proverb in our hearts. Give God time to kind of help us get wisdom, to maybe cement something into our lives and ultimately have it be something we can follow. Remember how tonight started? Remember how we began tonight? This whole thing started with, we want 2018 to be a year of success. We want 2018 to be a year of victory, a year of improvement, a year of healing. But to get there, you got to do things differently than we've been doing. I encourage you, let God lead you for this year. Give him a year to let him lead you in what he tells you to do. Surrender to him. Bring your questions, bring your options to him, and let him show you what he wants you to do. There are plenty of people here that you can ask for help. Talk to God as we take one last time to worship together. Would you please stand? This may be new to a lot of people, something you never heard before. How do I follow God? How do I hear him? Well, that's part of the relationship. Come talk to me. We're going to close out our service tonight, not now, but in 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, it'll be over. Mr. Roberts is going to play some walkout music for us. We're going to spend the next 5 minutes just talking with one another. Spend some time with each other. And if you need to talk to me, I'm up here for you. I want to talk to you. If you want to find out what it is to be connected with Jesus Christ, we have the prayer team will be with me as well. But spend the next 5 minutes as the music plays, talking with one another. When the music goes off in 5 minutes, we'll break down Westbridge Community Church, put in a trailer, and do it again next week.